مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. حديث من البدر and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, again I welcome you back to our program in which I shall speak about the life of the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, the beloved Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. No doubt there are many virtues in sending and reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that he who sends salutations upon me, salat upon me, durood upon me 1,000 times daily, then he shall not pass away from this world until he sees his own place in Jannah. Subhanallah. And these family brothers, let's make it a habit of ours, a regular practice of ours, to send durood and salutations upon the greatest of mankind, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. It has been stated that approximately 55 days before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, there was a king by the name of Abraha. He was the king of Sana'a, Yemen. That he became jealous of the amount of people that would travel to Makkah al-Mukarramah, to the Kaaba, to perform pilgrimage. Now, the pilgrimage is something that people would do even before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this world. It is said that he devised a plan, that he wanted to turn people away from migrating or going and journeying to Makkah al-Mukarramah, to the Kaaba, but rather he wished that people would come to Sana'a, Yemen, people would come to him. So he said that he built a huge cathedral, you can say, a huge palace, and he invited people to come and visit this palace rather than going to Makkah al-Mukarramah, rather than going to the Kaaba itself. When one of the individuals, one of the residents of Makkah al-Mukarramah, when they heard about this, it is said that one individual, he traveled to Yemen, he went to Sana'a, to this cathedral, and he defiling this cathedral, he urinated there and he relieved himself in this place. Now, when this King Abraha came to know about this, it said that it made him furious. He was angry and he made a firm intention to go and destroy the Kaaba. So he sets out with a large army, and this army, they do not set out on horses, but rather they set out on elephants in order to destroy this Kaaba. So it said that they come close to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and the army, they even confiscate the sheep and the camels of the people, and that of Abdul Muttalib, who at that time, if you remember, was the chief and the head of their people, the Banu Hashim. Now, upon doing this, when Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu found out about this, he said that he made a decision to go speak to the king of Yemen, to speak to this king by the name of Abraha. When Abraha heard that Abdul Muttalib shall be coming, then he set up his tent and had his throne placed there, and he was sat on his throne to show his rank, to show his level, his esteem. So Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu went to the tent of this king Abraha, and upon arrival, it is said that Abraha, when he saw Abdul Muttalib and the light in the beauty of the face of Abdul Muttalib, it has been stated that he got up from his throne to invite him in and pay him respect. And then he asked Abdul Muttalib, so what is it that brings you here? Abdul Muttalib says, I have only come for one reason. There's only one thing which concerns me. What concerns me is that your army, your people have confiscated my cattle, they've confiscated my camels. Now, the King Abraha, he's amazed. He thinks to himself that this was the leader of Makkah al-Mukarramah. This is such an honorable person. I'm going to destroy his Kaaba, yet he doesn't plead with me in regards to the Kaaba. All he does is ask me for his own wealth. He's only concerned about his own well-being, his own livelihood. So he says this to Abdul Muttalib, that you have amazed me. You are more concerned about yourself than your Kaaba. Abdul Muttalib, he replies, that these cattle are in my ownership. I own these cattle. I own these sheep. I own these camels. The Kaaba belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall protect the Kaaba. So all I ask from you is for you to return my camels, to return my sheep, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall protect his house. So it said that Abraha then returned the sheep and the camels to Abdul Muttalib, and he set out to destroy the Kaaba. Abdul Muttalib, upon having left the tent, it said that he went and called out to the people and he told them to leave their places, they will be destroyed. But then Abdul Muttalib, he proceeded to the Kaaba itself. It is said that he took hold of the doors of the Kaaba. And then he said that, Ya Allah, every individual certainly protects his house. So, O Allah, you please protect your house. After this dua, Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had taken his belongings and he had made his way to the mountains. At the mountains, he continued to do the dua. On the other hand, the Abraha, the king of Yemen, he proceeded to destroy Ma'azullah, the Kaaba, but he realized that at a point, the elephants of theirs would not move forward. So then he struck the animals, he did so many things to encourage the elephants to move forward, but yet the elephants remained where they were. After this, it has been stated, and this is from the Holy Quran too, in Surah Fil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the incident of how he dealt with the people of the elephants. It is stated, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ, that did you not see how your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had dealt with the people of the elephant? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ, that did he not cause their plan to be ruined? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them a flock of birds. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سَجِّيلٍ, and these birds, they had pelted stones made of baked clay. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ, and he had made them like broken straw eaten up. Now, my dear Islamic brothers, what happened on this occasion was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He has described in the Quran, sent some birds, a flock of birds. And it has been stated that each bird had a small stone in its beak and similarly in its claws. And from a very high distance, these birds had dropped these stones. And these stones had then penetrated through the helmets of the army of Abraha, which went deep down through their bodies and even through the elephants themselves, and this way the whole army had been destroyed. So this event had taken place approximately 55 days before the Prophet ﷺ was born, and it was from amongst the signs of the coming of the Prophet ﷺ. It has been stated that there were many other signs, such as all of the idols of the Kaaba and also the surrounding places, that all of the idols had fallen on their faces, and it was similarly announced that today the last messenger shall be born. it is said that the Arab lands began to flourish. Now, there was an earthquake in the palaces of Khosrow. So, my dear Islamic brothers, these are some of the strange and beautiful events which took place at the time the Prophet was born. It has similarly been stated that Hazrat Amina, radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she states that when the Prophet was born, then such light emanated from the Prophet and no doubt as he was Nur. She says that there was so much light that I could see as far as the palaces of Syria. Prophet was born Masruran Makhtunan. That the Prophet was born with his umbilical cord had been already cut, and similarly he was born circumcised. Also, he was born Mu'attaran, that the Prophet was extremely fragrant. He had a natural fragrance emanating from his body, and similarly there were signs of water glistening from his body, meaning he was actually washed also. Upon the birth of the Prophet ﷺ, now the Prophet ﷺ was born in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Similarly, on the outskirts of Ta'if, there was another tribe known as the Sa'd ibn Abi Bakr. This was a tribe of Halima Sa'diyah. Halima Sa'diyah, radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, was a poor lady. She and her husband were living in difficulty. Now, during the era of the Prophet ﷺ, children at a very young age, newborns even, they were sent to live away from the parents, to live in the oasis, in the desert, to be strengthened. Why? Because it is said that when a child lives in hardship, no doubt every child, wherever he lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the child happiness. But if the child was to be born and brought up in hard circumstances, then it brings strength to the child. But in this case, there was much more than having a hard life. There was much more than becoming strong. There was also, the people of the desert were extremely eloquent. Their language was brilliant. Their skills were, you know, magnificent even. Their language was not corrupted by the many people speaking the language in the cities. And similarly, it said that the environment was much better, the atmosphere was better, it was pure, it was clean. There were no illnesses, there were no diseases in the desert like there could have been in the cities with many people living around there. And this was an age where many children would even die at a young age. Many boys would die at a young age. Why? Because the survival rates were not high as they are nowadays. So, as newborns, the parents would send their children to go live in the desert. Now, not every tribe would come and take people's children away to look after them, but there were some tribes, and the most famous of them was the Sa'd ibn Bani Bakr tribe. The Banu Sa'd tribe, they would go to places, obviously to the rich people, and they would take their children, and from amongst them there was one individual by the name of Halima Sa'diyah radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. It is said that Halima Sa'diyah radhiyallahu anha, she, subhanallah, in the perfect time, she had a newborn child, so for this reason she was able to provide milk for the newborn. So she was struggling in her daily life, so she says to her husband that, my dear husband, we are living in a hard time and we require some money. So why don't we go to Makkah al-Mukarramah, because now it is the season and the rest of the people are going. So we should also go and bring somebody in our custody to look after them, and we shall be paid for it. So the husband says, yes, that's fine. Let's go and make our way to Makkah al-Mukarramah with the rest of the people, with the rest of the women, when they shall also go. It has been stated that Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radhiyallahu anha, she had a daughter beforehand by the name of Shayma, and later on during the seerah, inshallah, we shall hear a little about Shayma. And Halima Sa'diyah, after Shayma, she also had a newborn who was a boy now. So it said that they make their way to Makkah al-Mukarramah, which was approximately half a day to a day's travel. And upon reaching Makkah al-Mukarramah, they inquire, they ask the people as to who are the newborns. So they tell them that this such and such person was born in such and such family, that this such and such person or this couple has had a child. And they were also informed that Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu anha had a child by the name of Muhammad, but sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he was an orphan, meaning his father had passed away. Now, when somebody is an orphan, that usually means that they are not very rich, that they don't have much money. So this was, you can say, a last option for them, that they would go and look for everybody else, and they didn't even consider to take Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, as they stayed in Makkah al-Mukarramah for a week or 2 weeks possibly, and all the women, it has been stated that somebody gave their child away to one of these women. Now the parents would choose as to who they would give their child to. So everybody now had a child with them, except Hazrat Halima Sa'diya radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Halima Sa'diya radhiyallahu anha, she was deeply saddened that she was not able to take a child. But being who she was, she wanted to take somebody. She didn't wish to leave empty-handed. So the husband, he advises her. He says, look, there is still Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why don't you take him? Although he is an orphan, but I have hope that he shall bring goodness to our family. Subhanallah, this is what he says. So Halima Sa'diya radhiyallahu anha, she agrees to take Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They go to their house, and Hazrat Amina gives her child Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the arms of Halima Sa'diya radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. And he said that it even irritated the rest of the people because she slowed everybody else down. And as soon as she took the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her tent, he said that that same animal, its udders were full of milk and it seemed strong. And when they returned to Ta'if, this same animal was ahead of the rest of the animals, subhanallah. And Halima al-Sa'diya radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was asked, oh Halima, is this that same animal which you brought with us? The Halima al-Sa'diya radhiyallahu anha replied, yes, by Allah, it is the same animal, but now somebody else is riding it. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now riding this animal. And this is the reason why there are so many blessings in this animal. So now Halima al-Sa'diya radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she takes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to her people, back to the desert, to live along with her. And it said that she would also feed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam milk, and she witnessed many miracles throughout the childhood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were many blessings that Hazrat Halima al-Sa'diya radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she witnessed. The whole tribes themselves, the Banu Sa'd ibn Bakr, they also witnessed many blessings. They said that whenever somebody was ill, they would take their patient to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Halima al-Sa'diya, she would rub the blessed hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on any wound and that would be cured, on any patient and that patient would be cured. And they, similarly, she saw the blessings upon her household, how now she became totally different to how she was before. Her animals became strong, there was so much milk found in the animals, and they multiplied also. She became richer, so wealth, so in terms of wealth, financially too, she benefited very much. Now, the Banu Sa'd ibn Bakr, when they would take a child, they would normally keep the child for 2 years. Now, it said that when the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the age of two, Hazrat Halima al-Sa'diya radhiyallahu anha, she became saddened. And she wanted to spend more time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She wanted to continue to look after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to stay with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the time came to return Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then she took the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his mother Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu anha, and she said many things to Hazrat Amina, and this would benefit the child very much. And she convinced Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu anha to allow her to keep this child, and so she goes back to Ta'if or the surroundings of Ta'if to take care and look after this child. Now, when the Beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we're moving on. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he was at the age of 4. It has been said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even from a young age, he would not play with the children. But once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was outside, and there were also many other children along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it said that they saw three individuals again. Now, these three individuals, when the children saw them, they became scared and they ran away. Why? Because these were strange people. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood his ground and he remained where he was. Subhanallah, it shows how, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not afraid of things, how he possesses courage even at a young age. And one of the angels was Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. He cut open the blessed chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took out the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my dear Islamic brothers, this cutting open of the chest took place approximately 4 times throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And each time it was for many different reasons. One was at this time. Another was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approximately 10 years of age. Another was in the Ghar of Hira. And the fourth time was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam roamed the heavens and traversed the skies when he was about to leave for the night of Mi'raj. It has been mentioned that when these children, when they ran off, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approached by these angels, they ran to Hazrat Halimah al-Sa'diyah radhiyallahu ta'ala anha and they informed her of this incident. And they said that Hazrat Halimah al-Sa'diyah radhiyallahu anha, she became afraid and anxious even, and she came running to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Now when she saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting down at the time, and yes, his face was pale, no doubt he would have been. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not cry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not crying. And subhanallah, it said that they took a look, and Hazrat Anas radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates this hadith, and he says that I saw the mark of where the blessed chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was cut open. So my dear Islamic brothers, now that we don't have much time left today, alhamdulillah, we learn a little about the childhood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Halimah al-Sa'diyah radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, upon discovering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting down, what happens from here, inshallah, we shall come to know in the next episode. So please stick with us, inshallah, we shall continue this another time. For now, my dear Islamic brothers, please continue to recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even do your own reading or research. Read books written by the Islamic Sunni scholars about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam.
مولاي صلي وسلم.